This has been such an amazing year. It's been a year of incredible highs and great things have been happening. It's been a difficult year just in the last so many months with some of the tragedies that have happened right around us. But the great news is that through all of it, God can use adversity to pull us together. God uses the difficulties to strengthen us. He uses suffering to draw us closer to himself. And then we are just ready to absorb the great things that God has for us when we don't lose focus on him. And 2018 has been a great year for our church family. I was thinking back about what has happened, what's transpired in this last year. And you have been an amazing church family. We on our serve day last year, early last year, if you can remember back, we did over 70 different projects in our community. And then that kept going because we were doing projects all throughout the year, even right up until the last few weeks when we had a chance to go renew Christmas for some people who lost their homes in the fires. And this has been a church family that has really extended compassion and served our community in amazing ways. We sent 45, mostly our young people, to Houston to serve in disaster relief from the hurricane. So give it up for our young people. They're learning, they're doing it, they're growing. And of course, continue to pray for those who keep working with them. That's amazing. I think we had, where's Crystal, our largest VBS ever this year. Man, and with, I forgot how many, like almost 80 volunteers or something like that. It was just amazing. And I love it when I run into people in our community, people that don't necessarily like do church, and they'll say, oh yeah, but our kids went to VBS at your church. I'm like, man, that's awesome. And our children's ministry has been exploding. It's just been exciting. We sent a team to Ecuador, which was absolutely amazing. And that transition, to watch that move from, you know, trying to get the ministry started to now we're just going to support and encourage the people who are there doing the ministry, was just absolutely amazing. We took a record number of shoeboxes, I think, down to Mexico, served a record number of families at Christmas shop just a couple weeks ago. Our church, Five Lows, if you've come down here during the week on Fridays and Saturdays to see the numbers of people that are being served through our church family that come and get food every week, it's just amazing to watch that. We gave over, if my math is right, and Gary will probably correct me if I'm wrong, we gave over $125,000 to our different mission partners around the world, which was a great year. Our church experienced 23% growth in just our normal attendance this last year, which was amazing. And I got to say, our Spanish ministry is growing, and we have two sisters. I'm going to actually ask them to just wave or stand if they can, who were baptized last week as part of our Spanish ministry. It was amazing. Yeah, you can make sure you hug them. I got to be here last week and hear our sister's testimony, and just God is doing great things in our church family, and we're just so delighted. And so you have these sisters in the Lord now, so make sure you give them a hug before you go today. And I think as Devin mentioned, it's been a great year for us in terms of giving, and we've been able to do so many things because of that. And that's just all because of the faithfulness of God working through you, his people. And you know, we believe strongly that everything that needs to be accomplished by the church is really, at the core, it's in all of you. And our real task and joy is to watch God unleash what he wants to see happen in his people, because you are all gifted. You're all gifted in amazing ways. And if anything else, I would tell you this year, dig down deep, discover your gift, and put it to work, because God has definitely got great things in store for our future, and he wants to do great things in our lives. God has been so very good to us, and I would encourage you to see how good he is. You got grandkids running around crazy. I love it. God is with us every step of the way, and he's got great things for us. As we were talking, and Devin was mentioning New Year's resolutions, I recalled a story it happened, actually, it's a true story. It happened at the Rose Parade a couple decades ago. The Rose Parade's pretty old. Some of you will, you know, get in your pajamas in a couple days and watch the Rose Parade on TV. There was one year that there was a float, and it suddenly comes around. There's this one big turn, and as it came around this big turn on the Rose Parade route, it started to sputter and sputter and sputter, and then pretty soon it just came to a stop. It had run out of gas, okay? It ran out of gas. The thing that was most ironic about it is that it was the Standard Oil Company's float, okay? So the guys who should have most access to fuel, you know, ran out. And as I was thinking about that, it reminded me of the fact that so often we will start with great gusto, you know, especially whether it's resolutions or something. We'll start with all kinds of momentum, but pretty soon if we're not careful, we will run out of gas. And I want to encourage you this year. As Devin mentioned, some of us will be people who will say, yeah, I'm going to set those resolutions. Some of us will say, no, I'm going to avoid that. And you know what's amazing is there's people who are saying, everything is possible. And you know what? Those people are probably right. And then there's people that say, I don't know that anything's possible. And for them, that might be right. And it really has to do with whether or not you put your trust in the Lord. And I was reading a bit about New Year's resolutions. Harvard had done a study a couple years ago and talked about the top 10 New Year's resolutions. You know, things like losing weight, getting fit, enjoying life more. I mean, yeah, well, who doesn't have that resolution, right? Enjoying life a little bit more. Spending less and saving more. How many of you could go for that one this year? Yeah, absolutely. Then there's spending more time with family. How many of you, that's good for you? Yeah. Then there's getting organized, right? Don't point at people, all right? Don't point at one another. But then learn a new hobby. I would say learn to use your gift. Could go in there. Travel more, read more. How many of you would like to read a little more? Hey, I was talking to actually Pastor Jim the other day. How many of you last year started out to read the chronological Bible? And how many of you made it all the way through? Did you do it? Let's hear it for these guys, right? That is awesome. And you know, I would say this: if you have not done that before, talk to those folks, get a copy. You do that this year. If you're looking for something to read, you can talk to Pastor Jim. He's always got a plan for reading in the Bible and stuff. And we just want you immersed in God's Word because it is so important. But I don't know about you, but the Harvard study told us that 50% of the people that make resolutions or 80% of people who start out don't actually achieve them. Only 8% of people succeed at keeping their resolutions. I don't know what happened to the other 2%. They just fell off altogether, I guess. But why do you suppose that happens? I mean, why do you think that some people just, we don't tend to actually live out and achieve these resolutions? As I started to ponder that, I thought it's not because of a lack of information on our part. We have seminars and books and stuff all about goals and goal keeping. You know, we're told to make SMART goals. You know, they're supposed to be, if I remember how that all works, they're supposed to be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and have a timeline, like by the end of the year, right? And we've got, I did a Google search. I just punched in how to keep New Year's resolutions, and there was over 108 million entries, okay? So it's not for lack of information that we don't keep these goals. And so as I thought about it more and more, I thought, well, wait a minute. What is it? And I believe I came up with one thing that I think is really important. And before I kind of just give you the answer, I believe that the reason that many of us who make resolutions and the reason many of us don't make resolutions comes from this one basic answer. And before I give you the answer, I want to just ask you a couple questions when it comes to resolutions. Number one is this: what's the main purpose for your resolution? What's the main purpose? Or what's the main reason you're not making one? The second question is this: who is the success of your resolution dependent on? Is it fully dependent on you and just your willpower? If so, okay? I mean, come on. I mean, even the best of us don't have the willpower to get everything done. Third is, who will benefit the most if you succeed? Think about that for a minute. Who benefits the most? And the last question, I think, kind of gives the whole deal away, but is this. Who gets the glory if you succeed? You see, so many times I think that our resolutions and stuff get wrapped up around what we think is best for ourselves, what we think we need for ourselves. And I think the reason that most of us oftentimes just don't achieve the resolutions that we set out for is because we forgot to include God in the process. We forgot to include God at the beginning of the process and ask the Lord, hey, God, what do you want me to do with my life this year? This life that you've blessed me with, this life that you continue to breathe into me. What is it, God, that you want me to do this year? You know, we all have ideas of what we want to do, but what does he want to do in our lives this year? Matthew 6:33, you've heard this before. It says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If we seek his righteousness first, if we seek his kingdom first, if we ask God first, hey, God, which direction should I go this year? What resolutions should I make? What things should I be including? Maybe it's, Lord, what things should I let go of this year in order to fully be in tune with your kingdom? And then, have you really ever stopped and asked God, you know, what should my resolutions be? In Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge, you know the answer, him. And he'll make your path straight. If you leave it up to me, I will make my path crooked every time. You know, if we want a straight path, we've got to seek him and his will, his kingdom first. And especially when it comes to big decisions like, what am I going to try to accomplish this year? You see, some folks, they run off ahead of God, and they get busy in their own thing, and that usually ends up, you know, failing. And then there's other people who forget that God wants to accomplish great things in your life, and so they sit around and don't really want to do much of anything or don't make any kind of plans for next year. I mean, instead of maybe me goals or smart goals, maybe what we really need this year, maybe what God is calling us to is some God goals. To really include God into this. And if I was to just take that acrostic for God, I would say, make sure that whatever goals you set, that God gets the glory. That it's all about his glory at the end of the day. It's not about what I get out of it or what I achieve. Believe me, when God's glory is being shown, revealed, and makes itself evidence in our life, your life will be blessed. But let's make it about his glory. Then let's make it about others. Let's focus not just on ourselves, but let's focus on how God wants us to serve and to bless other people and how he wants to use us. Because one thing my mom taught me years ago is this, is when things are going really rough in my life, when I'm really messing up, I need to focus on other people. And it seems every time when I focus on others and serving other people, that God will steer the ship in the right direction. So make sure that we're other-focused. So make sure you're looking for God's glory, be others-focused. And the last is, make your goal to where God, dependence is the big word, the D word. Dependence on God is mandatory. I've always heard it said, make your plans so big that you're going to fail unless God is a part of them. And I don't know about you, but coming off of a really great year as a church family, man, I believe that God has so much more for us. As a church family, I think he wants to do so much more in us. See, we're not here just to, like, build a big church. We're here to make a big difference, make a big difference in our community. There, we all know friends and neighbors who are in desperate need of knowing the love of Jesus. We have coworkers and schoolmates and people that we play sports with or work out with at the gym and just do business with on a regular basis, people who are in desperate need of knowing the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for, to really to help people find and follow Jesus. And so through the month of January, we're going to dive in. I know we've got lots of you who are new to our church family. We're going to dive into, we're calling the sermon series, This Is Us. Okay, we kind of stole it from the TV show that I've never watched. But just like the idea. But the whole idea is that, you know, this is who we are as a church. And we're going to talk about our mission, our vision, what God is calling us to do to help people encounter God, to truly help people find and follow Jesus Christ. And then we're going to talk about what's it mean to build community and to extend compassion. And I got to tell you, you guys are doing a great job. Extending compassion, man, it's been fun to watch you as a church do that this year, and I'm looking forward to what God has in store for us next year. But if I could encourage you in any way, shape, or form, it's to take those things that we talk about as a church. How are you going to encounter God this year? Maybe the goal is to read through the Bible like some of them did this last year. Maybe it's going to be to join in with someone like Pastor Jim and say, hey, let's get together. Let's read the Bible together. And let's talk about what God's Word's saying. Maybe it's to just find a way to increase your prayer life. Every Wednesday and Friday, we've got people praying. Just find a way to encounter God in a new, fresh way this year. Then build community. For many of you, maybe it's going to be jumping in our Rooted experience or joining a life group. I got to tell you, man, I love our life group to death because I just get fed there by the people who we get to do life with. And I want that for everybody. I want you to experience what that's like. And so I hope that you'll take time to get involved in that. And then extending compassion, I believe God's got some great stuff in store for us this next year in ways that we could really serve our community and help them know the love of God. You know, we always try to think in our minds, you know, like we want to be the church that if for some reason God just came and plucked us right out of Newberry Park, that the whole community would go, what in the world just happened? Like they would miss us, right? I mean, that is huge. That's important for us. And so together we're going to grow and serve this year. And I want to just end with this because we had a great year last year, but we're looking so much forward to what God's going to do this next year. And the verse that just comes to mind is Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Do you hear that? More than you can ask or imagine. More than you can think up for your resolution. God's got more in store for you if you'll pay attention to him and put his kingdom first. And then it says, according to his power. It's not your power. It's not your willpower to get your resolution done. It's not your own strength. It's his power that's working within us. And then it says, to him be the glory. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. And that's really what we want to be about, is a church that experiences everything God has for us. And I want to thank you on behalf of our staff. Thank you for the amazing gifts. We thank you for the way you care for us. Thinking about this, the sabbatical idea, part of me is kind of kicking and screaming into it, but I think it's going to be great for, I want to be here to hear some of these people that are coming, because there's some great people that are going to come share God's word here, and I'm excited for all of you and for some of the great things God's going to do. But I know this, as long as we keep focused on the one whose church it really is, and let him build his church, man, we are going to experience God's grace and God's blessing in ways we can't even possibly imagine. And I just want to thank you for being a part of that. Thank you for being a great church family. We're going to end today with another song. And just thank you so much. Remember to take the centerpieces home. Those of you who would like to stick around and help us put things away, great. But on behalf of our church staff and our church leadership, I want to thank you for being an awesome church family. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get going. And it looks like you guys didn't finish all the stuff off the goodie table. You're starting your resolutions early. I see that. But you should make sure all that goes away, all right? Or my grandson will make a beeline over there and eat it all. So, all right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for an amazing year. Thank you, Father, that you continue to show up in amazing ways all the time. Father, open our eyes. Open our eyes to see what you're up to. Father, open our hearts to feel the things that you feel in our community and in our world. Father, help us to open our hands and to be generous to give. Thank you for being such a generous, giving, guiding, directing, amazing Heavenly Father. And Father, we're so thankful that we can simply play a little part in what you are up to in the world. And thank you, Father, that you take the little that we can offer, and God, you make them great for your kingdom purposes. Thank you, Father, that you are with us always. Father, through this last year, we thank you for the ways you've blessed, and we look forward to what you're going to do next year. God, thank you for being with us, for going before us, for helping us to know that there's hope in Jesus. Help us, Father, help others find that hope. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in the powerful name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.